Today on Real Radio.
It is a great thing for anybody to say, I know God. I know God. But you know what's greater than that? For God to say, I know you. That's exciting. He loves us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Back to the Future, continues in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 4 today, verses 7 through 11. How can we who are sinful by nature come to a God who is holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through His gospel of grace. The Apostle Paul, he preached a simple gospel. Paul put forth a narrow way, in that unless we are born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. And God has guaranteed our inheritance, because we are no longer slave to sin, but an heir of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And now, as we look back to our future, we find that our relationship with God is secure. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that our future is in God's complete plan. We all used to live for other things, so Paul repeats his concern that we're not to turn from the grace of Christ to a different works-based gospel. And now, in his lesson called Back to the Future, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 8, the apostle says, But then, it's a time question statement. But then, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those who by nature are not God's. But now, that's a time statement. After you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months, seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Those are strong words. Paul is pleading. Can you see it in the language that he's talking with? I don't want to be too dramatic about it, but it is true in the construction of the verses before us. If we were to paint a picture of what Paul is saying, though he sit somewhere probably near candlelight or perhaps out in the middle of a field one day when he's penning this, there's tears in his eyes. There's a crackle in his voice. When he speaks, it is very, very possible as he writes what he would say to them that he's on a knee pleading with them. It's a very passionate moment, as the book of Galatians is. Why? Because Paul is absolutely set against legalism destroying the work that he labored so hard to accomplish in the life of a believer. He preached the gospel, the simple gospel. When you read Paul's preaching, it's very simple. When he expounds on the meaning of the gospel, very deep. But he preached the simple gospel. It is Paul in Romans who stated over and over again that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you confess that with your mouth, that is, you agree with what you believe by stating it out loud, you shall be saved. And legalists have a hard time with that. They say, no way, Paul, come on, too easy. I had somebody last service say, come on, Pastor, you got to be baptized to be saved. I said, show me that in the Bible. Well, the church that I come from, that's what they teach. I said, I didn't ask you that question. Show me in the Bible. Should you be baptized? Oh, yeah, sure. Only after you're saved. Should you be baptized? It's an outward declaration of the internal commitment, just as circumcision was in the days of old, an outward display of an internal commitment. The thief on the cross hung on the cross, and that day began rather interesting. If you remember, Jesus is going to the cross, the two thieves going to the cross with him, and as they were nailed to the cross, Jesus in the middle, the Bible says, as the day began, what happened? Both of them railed at Jesus, didn't they? They were both railing on him and condemning him. And then something seems to have happened when Jesus cried out and says, Father, forgive these, for they know not what they do. Perhaps that must have touched his heart. We don't know exactly what it was. But from that moment on, that thief on the cross turned to his cohort in crime. Perhaps he even kind of leaned his head over, looking around Jesus in the middle. And looking out, as they were railing on Christ, this man has a change of heart. Metamorphosis. And he says, hey, wait a minute. You and I are guilty. We're here justly. But this man, he's done nothing wrong. And I don't know what happened after that moment. We do know that's what is recorded is he says to Jesus, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me? But I wonder if on the other side of the cross, that guy that kept railing and ragging on Jesus the way that he did so vehemently, I wonder what he did. Did he possibly lean out himself around Jesus and look at his partner in crime and watching and hearing about a possible conversion, say, what's with you all of a sudden, Holy Joe? Oh, you finding God right before the end of your life, are you? Getting religious? Yeah, well, I've heard about guys like you finding God, you know, right before the end, finding God in prison. Well, that man on the cross, he was not going to prison. He was going to die. And Jesus turned and said to him, these are awesome things. Without any works of righteousness, without any effort, based upon confession from a changed heart, Jesus responds and says, today you will be with me in paradise. Deathbed or death cross conversion. Yesterday, I don't know what happened. I got there just moments too late. On Grand Avenue in Eucalyptus, I think someone, again, I got there late, don't know the details. I think someone was hit by a car. Paramedics were there. They flew in the helicopter, airlifted the person out. And my wife and I prayed at that instant, Lord, whoever they are, may they come to know you in this. And you know, if you believe what the Bible teaches, there's a freedom in that. As they flew that person to Loma Linda, I know there's a lot of born-again Christians who work there. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't know. But I know this. It was a simple gospel preached to a man on the cross recognizing who Jesus was. He knew enough to say, Lord, when you come into the kingdom, remember me. Look, he didn't do it. He didn't come forward. He was nailed to the cross. He couldn't come down. Jesus didn't say like Billy Graham, the buses will wait, your friends will wait as you come forward. That's the way we want to see conversion. Just come forward. We want to give you a new believer's packet. There was none of that for this man. He confessed what he believed. What did he believe? Only this, that Jesus must be one who's going to live forever. He's going to establish his kingdom. And he would have the power to remember this bum thief hanging on a cross. And all he asked was, Jesus, will you remember me when you come? And Jesus says, that's it. That's it. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Now, I don't know about you, but I love that. And I believe that man responded to the gospel. The gospel was hanging next to him on the cross. In flesh and blood. We look at two truths this morning that Paul wants to drive home to us quickly and clearly. In verses 8 and 9, we first of all learn this, that the future that we have in God is complete. The future is complete. The cry to be born again, the cry to come to everlasting life is in Jesus Christ. And listen to what Paul puts forward to those of Galatia, those that were being tempted to pull away into a legalistic relationship. He says in verse 8, but then, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those who were by nature not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? See the question mark at the end of that verse, verse 9? Paul is saying, what in the world is going on? He would say today, if he were here, time out. Come on. Think for a moment. What are you doing? You are a group of Gentiles who live in the area of Galatia. You're not Jewish. And even if you were, listen to what I'm saying. Jesus Christ came into your life and set you free. You receive that news with gladness. Remember in Galatians 1, verses 6 and 7, he said, I marvel that you're so soon turning away from the gospel of your salvation, to another message, which is not another gospel. So he's speaking to a group of Gentile believers predominantly, and he's saying, wait, number one, verse 8, he would say to them, but then, can you circle that in your Bibles, mark it, highlight it? But then, and you can write in the margin of your Bible, but then refers to the old me. Remember, he's writing to believers. He's not writing to unbelievers. He says, but then, it's a time statement. Is it not true that way back then, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods? In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Isn't that amazing? Keep this in mind. When Jesus went to the cross, he didn't go up there and say, no, I'm doing this for all the good people. I'm doing this for all the good people. I'm doing this. No. Jesus went to the cross, and he knew that there were no good people. He says, I'm doing this for all the world. For God the Father sent me into the world to die, that whosoever would believe on me would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus went to the cross for all of mankind. And isn't his love patient? Before you came to Jesus Christ, what were you doing? Rather not talk about it. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But when you were living outside of God, wasn't he patient with us? Didn't he forbear and put up with us? This is amazing. So first of all, we can confess this, that there was a time in our lives when we did, known to us or not, serve other gods. But look at verse 9. We're set free by his grace. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God. Oh, this is great. It is a great thing for anybody to say, I know God. I know God. But you know what's greater than that? For God to say, I know you. That's exciting. God's heart, he loves us. And one of the great things that he's done, verse 9, is a direct opposition, I can put, to verse 8. But then we lived after the world, but look at verse 9. But now, after you have known God, or rather, known by God, that God knows us. You know, Harry Ironside writes in one of his books, it's a great little story, about knowing God. People will say, have you found Christ or have you found Jesus? Remember that? You don't hear it so much anymore. But when I got saved, there were stickers everywhere. I found Jesus. We sang today, you know, I found Jesus. It's a great question. People used to ask, have you found the Lord? Have you found the Lord? People would ask. Harry Ironside says in his book that this little kid went to his church and the Sunday school teacher says, My dear boy, have you found Jesus? And the kid didn't know how to answer. He didn't know how to respond. He's like, So the next Sunday, she says, have you found Jesus? And he's panicked. Third week, have you? Now the teacher's feeling a little bit of some unction because he's not responding. She's concerned for his soul. She says, have you found Jesus? He sat silent. And he gets back to his mom after service and he says, I'll never go to that church again. Never. I don't ever want to go back. And she says, how come? And he says, you know what? Every time I go in that class, that teacher asks me if I found Jesus. And he says, here's what I think. I think that church has lost him and they're trying to pin it on me. Yeah, you can just see that little guy. I didn't do it. The truth is, if you have said this and you mean it, something along these lines, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I mean, the thief on the cross said, remember me. Some people cry out, oh God, help me, Lord. There's no formula. But if you cry out to him and you mean it, the Bible says you're saved. Is that too simple?
Well, yes, it needs to be more this way.
Oh, forget it. Man always messes things up. The gospel is given that the simplest person to the most complex person, the youngest person to the oldest person. Now, you see, our future's in Jesus Christ. It's in Him alone. We read also in verse 9, it says, how is it then that you turn again? Can you circle the words there, turn again, to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Now, this is interesting. The word turn again means to deviate from course. It means to just go a degree off. It means to start out at a point and to go onward, but you're just a degree off, and that's dangerous in the long run. Why does he bring this up? Listen very carefully. Did not Jesus say to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven? Remember? What did Nicodemus say back to Jesus? And by the way, he was not being rude. Nicodemus, who was an extremely religious man, his righteousness far exceeded our external righteousness combined. He says, Jesus, how can I, a grown man, old, go back to my mother and be born in that process all over again? I don't get it. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, unless a man is born of water, that's the physical birth. That's not water baptism. In fact, Jesus explains it in the next verse. Unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is of the flesh is fleshly, water. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit, and it's capital S, Holy Spirit. You must be born, listen, you must be born once, born twice, the second time, born again. And here's the little jingle. I hope I can remember it. If you're born twice, you'll only die once. If you're born once, you'll have to die twice. You say, what? Yeah. If you're born twice, born of this world, I mean, look at all of us. We all made the first part. We're halfway there. If you're born again, born twice, you'll only die once. Physical death, only once. But if you are only born of this world in the flesh, through water, this world, you will die a physical death and you'll die a spiritual death. If you're born twice, you die once. If you're born once, you die twice. Born again. Jesus challenged Nicodemus with this. And Nicodemus had a great question. How can this happen? I need to know. And Jesus says, you, and read it carefully, you, Nicodemus, you are the teacher in all of Israel, and you don't know this? Wow. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through me. And people will go, too narrow. Too narrow. And they'll get mad at you. They'll get mad at me. They'll write you notes or they'll write me notes. Pastor, the next time you say it's narrow, the next time you mention the word hell and sin, I'm leaving. I get notes like that. Do you get notes like that? Give me your email. I'll give you those notes that come to me like that. Oh, what am I supposed to do? Okay. Do I obey feelings or the Word of God? Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, broad is the way that leads to eternal destruction, and a lot of people are on that path. Boy, this flies in the face of conventional wisdom, doesn't it? Broad is the path. A lot of people are on it. Yeah, that's my path. That's a nice path. That leads to hell. What? Then he says, narrow is the way, and few people are on the path that leads to eternal life. We don't want to hear that. The future alone is in Jesus Christ. There's no going back as the Judaizers wanted the Galatian believers to do. Back to the future? Oh, go back to the ancient practices of trying to keep the law to hopefully gain some security in the future? No, 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 no. God fulfilled the law through Jesus Christ. He completed that. It was in Jesus that it was done. Now our future is in Christ. We don't go back to the future. We go to the future. Every day we go to our future in Him. Every moment we do. We see ourselves in Christ. That is a constant continuum. I'm in Jesus now. I'm in Jesus now. You know, those of you who are Christians, you're going to be in Jesus in the next hour. Did you know that? If you doubt that, read verse 6 of this chapter. It gives you assurance of that. Look what he says in verses 10 through 11. He says, "You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you," says Paul, "lest I have labored for you in vain." These people were Gentiles who got saved by the preaching of the gospel. But now the legalists came behind Paul's preaching and said, "This is what else you have to do." So now they're trying to act Jewish. Over and over again in Scripture, Colossians chapter 2, for one thing, starting at verse 13, teaches, the book of Hebrews teaches, the book of Romans teaches us that the law was put into place until Christ should come. But when Christ had come, He fulfilled the law. So that now we go about living our lives in Christ, not in the law. The law's been done away because He completed the law. He fulfilled it. So the Scripture says in Colossians, don't fret about or don't run about trying to keep these days and keep these festivals and feasts, because the substance is Christ, that these were only shadows of that which is to come.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Back to the Future. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you are already committed to the teachings of Christ and are in fellowship with one another, for this is our future in Christ. Back to the Future is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds. For we are justified through faith and not of our works, should any of us boast. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, here's a thought. Let's say you're in the doctor's office or you're waiting in your car for some reason. You've got a little bit of time to kill. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app. What a great way to spend a few minutes or a few hours. Check in with everything that is Real Radio on a daily basis. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app. Or you can click through our website if you'd like. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We'd love to have you join us as often as you can. By the way, if you have a question about anything you might have heard on the radio today, head over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit the Contact tab. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit the Contact tab. We would love to put you in contact with somebody who can help you out with your question. It's not a problem at all. At reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This Sunday night, Pastor Jack's going to be doing another Happening Now Facebook Live event on his Facebook page. That's this Sunday, the 28th at 6 p.m. Pacific time. That's 9 Eastern. Pastor Jack and special guest, our friend Amir Tsafati, will be discussing why Jerusalem matters from a historical, a biblical, and current events perspective. Once again, that's this Sunday, 28th, at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, on Pastor Jack's Facebook page, or you can click the link right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. The Happening Now events on Facebook Live, current events from a biblical perspective. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.